is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, traveling with the Secretary to all the most occupied continents. And we address the two wars in Eurasia immediately because with the cascade of bad headlines this morning, I'm reminded again and again of the wonderful Claudius speech in Hamlet. When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. The battalions are moving. We go to Ukraine. Ukraine right now is sagging. The rumors are everywhere, so I just stayed with the London headlines. Ukraine to lose significant ground to Russia without U.S. support, says the head of the CIA, Mr. Burns. And the other example of a provocative, troubled battalion, Mr. Orban visiting Mr. Trump. Mr. Orban is the leader of Hungary, a member of the EU and NATO, and was reluctant to endorse Sweden joining the EU-NATO until and if there were inducements. Mr. Orban is quoted in the London papers. Trump, quote, won't give a penny to Ukraine, says Orban. I mention also in these last days that Germany is talking to the UK. Baerbock, the foreign minister, is talking to Cameron, the foreign minister, about getting missiles to Ukraine belatedly. We also have a headline suggesting that Ukraine has rejected the recommendation of Pope Francis to negotiate in battalions. Mary, a very good day to you. We'll start with the question about Ukraine losing significant ground and the support for it in the United States. Since the State of the Union message was delivered in support of Ukraine, do you sense that there is renewed interest in sustaining Ukraine, or are we watching the end game? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I think, as we've talked about on prior segments, that Ukraine has become a domestic political dividing line during a presidential year. And that's unfortunate because there are serious concerns that we need to discuss about the prospect of Ukraine falling to Russia. And what does that mean for the security of agricultural supplies, of our NATO allies? What does it mean for the signaling that it would send to our other enemies around the world, like Iran and China? And those are significant questions. But, you know, one of the challenges with democracy is that the leaders, not challenges, I mean, it's one of the features, leaders are elected, and they have to be responsive to their people. And on the Republican side, I think many voters have not seen a plan to win from the current Democrat-run White House, and so they rightly have concerns. And there are very few also on the Republican side speaking up strongly, clearly, and regularly explaining why Ukraine matters to U.S. national security. So on the other side of politics, you have the Democrats sensing a political opportunity, saying, gosh, we can take over the Republican mantra of being, you know, democracy promoters and avatars for all that's right and good in the world, and we'll run on that, at least rhetorically, and that way we can separate ourselves from Republicans and give voters a sense that we're on top of the issue and we're keeping them secure. So that's kind of the political discussion that's going on. On the ground, of course, Ukraine is, I think, at risk of this turning into some kind of guerrilla warfare with even more casualties on the Ukrainian side, even more Ukrainian children being taken, even more unrest in neighboring states like Moldova, the Baltics, et cetera. So it's a serious situation because without U.S. support of many kinds, whether that is support on the civilian side by things like Spirit of America, which is a great organization I've known and contributed to for a long time, without intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance from us, they'd have a hard time hitting important Russian targets. And without, of course, our military hardware, they'd have a hard time just continuing to fight in a meaningful way. So it's a perilous time for sure.
Mr. Macron has remarked that it might be necessary to send ground troops to Ukraine. That is echoed again by statements of one of his supporters, François Patriot, the Senate leader in France, saying that Mr. Macron is Churchillian for not agreeing to accede to Mr. Putin for not giving in. He's talking about ground troops again, however, and that, we're told by Moscow, is a trigger for a wider war. Do we believe it, Mary? Ground troops in Ukraine leads to a general conflagration.
I mean, I think it's hard to believe both sides. Emmanuel Macron has led France for many years, and he has a history of making broad sweeping statements like calling for a, quote, real European army, or his recent comments on Ukraine where he said, quote, we're certainly approaching a moment in our Europe where it will be appropriate not to be a coward, he said. And yet there's no significant overwhelming French military buildup to back that up. There's no, thoughtful and forceful diplomacy trying to rally the free nations of the world to pool their resources to help Ukraine. I mean, there's no action there. And on Putin's side, Putin has been deterring the United States, Britain, and Europe from the start. Recall that, he's threatened to use nuclear weapons throughout the conflict, which has resulted in President Biden hesitating to send Ukraine airplanes and long-range missile systems. And so I would read the threat of a wider war as another effort to deter more supplies to Ukraine, just as Russia starts to see an advantage.
The State of the Union message, Mr. Biden focused a great deal on domestic matters. I understand that's good politics. People vote their pocketbooks. However, there were remarks about Ukraine. There were remarks about the wider world. And it came to me afterwards, there is a Biden doctrine for domestic ambitions for the administration for this term and for the second term if the re-election is successful. But is there a Biden doctrine for the Eurasian wars or for meeting our foes in the Pacific, the Oceania? Can you discern one, Mary?
Well, I think it's a kind of an odd combination of George W. Bush style soaring rhetoric on democracy and why we must defend it, mixed with an Obama-like approach of accommodation to rising enemy powers. And that is taking really the worst of the political right and the political left in recent American history. And what it's resulting is more chaos in reduced U.S. deterrence and in a far more dangerous environment, not just for our people, but for the citizens of our allied nations. And I fear that whoever is the next president of the United States is going to inherit really significant problems, and we'll have to work fast to restore that deterrence and really reorient the ship of U.S. foreign policy back toward something which is realistic and recognizes not just the nature of our enemies, but how they cooperate with one another and help one another and work to break those ties.
Is it your opinion that Putin is the problem, that NATO is the problem, that there is a problem anywhere? Where is your identification of the strongest foe? Who is it?
I think this is, in some respects, John, a trick question, because you have many in the quote-unquote conservative movement in the United States who just want to focus on China to the exclusion of everything else. And I think that's very dangerous. I mean, I think we need to recognize that we have multiple foes of multiple different capabilities who are presenting very different threats to us, whether it's Iran, which has a potential breakout nuclear capacity and ballistic missiles that can reach Europe, or Russia, that has the largest nuclear portfolio in the world and hypersonic capability, whether it's China, that has now more than 500 nuclear weapons, and we have no visibility into that program, and they aim to double or triple that stockpile as fast as they can. These are all really significant threats, and that's just one aspect of these threats, the nuclear threat. There are conventional threats, too. We have biochemical weapons threats. We have threats to our communication systems through, for instance, China anti-satellite program. So, it's a complicated question. It has a complicated answer. And I'm really suspicious when I hear commentators, just pretend that, we can be, in some respect, singular minded just about China. I'm glad they're focused on China, but let's not take our eye off of these multiple balls that threaten us, and, to mix the metaphor.
And the Biden doctrine of the adversaries use the metaphor of the axis of resistance. Does the Biden doctrine take that into account? There, I'll fill that out. There seems to be a twin track. One is avoid the wider war. The other is confront China, confront Moscow. Do those go together?
No, they don't. I think that if you were to be the most generous to the Biden administration, you'd say that they are trying to buy time to get allies on board to do things like, for instance, move supply chains out of China, give them time to do that, and to rally allies like Australia and the UK to have us all build submarines together so that we can contain China in the Pacific. And those are good things, but they're scattershod. And my fear is that we just don't have time. Just in the last week, there was language taken out of official Chinese statements about Taiwan and peaceful reunification. And that signals to me, I mean, there are multiple signals here that China is accelerating its designs on its neighbors, not just Taiwan. You can see its aggressiveness in places like the Second Thomas Shoal and Philippine maritime territory, where it's just a miracle that more soldiers haven't died. And you can see the tie is strengthening economically between this triumvirate of powers, Russia, China, and Iran, that will help them not just prop each other up, but to thrive and to go out and build more weapons and share their technology. I mean, this is really serious. And so while I appreciate the careful nature of the Biden approach, I think that it doesn't reflect the urgency and the danger of the situation that we face.
To the Gaza War with Mary Kissel. She is Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.